Take a breath. You guys made it. It's Saturday evening. I hope you guys have been having a great weekend so far. Welcome here to Ulster Mission Chapel. My name is John Woodard. I haven't been up here very much in the last 2 years. Generally, I only preach during youth Sundays. But, I mean, it's COVID and things are different now. So I'm preaching today while Gary's on holidays. So it's great to see you guys. I have a couple things to let you know. Today is going to be a little bit different than a normal Sunday service. Normally, we would welcome you here and then give you some announcements, and then we'd sing, and then we'd have a sermon. Today, we're going to sing at the end, and we're actually going to start with a children's feature. Today, we're celebrating baptisms. So how this is going to work is Connor and Cheyenne would be doing the children's feature. Then after they're done, I'll come up and give a short sermon. I promise you it'll be short. And then we're going to watch some of our people here be baptized. We did some baptisms last week, and we recorded them, so we're going to watch them here. And then to celebrate together, we're going to sing to end the service. So that's what you can expect. Buckle up. It's going to be a ride. So first things first, let's pray, and then I'll introduce Connor and Cheyenne. Father God, thank you for the chance we have to come and worship together in your church. Lord, I pray that through tonight that we would enter into an honest place of worship. Lord, that we'd be able to celebrate together the baptisms and the commitments that are being made in our church. Lord, be with everybody who's involved in making the service happen. I pray for confidence and a calmness of nerves for everybody involved. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So Connor and Cheyenne will do our children's feature.
Marcus will be home any minute, and he'll be wanting his breakfast hot as soon as he gets here. I wish he didn't have to work so many night shifts at the jail. He comes home so grumpy every time, just dragging his feet, eyes glazed over, expects his breakfast, doesn't say a word to me, and crawls into bed. And of course, I need to be quiet all day while I do my housework so that he doesn't wake up. And there was a little bit of an earthquake last night, too, so I do hope he was okay. Nights at the jail are really crazy when there's earthquakes. They're already crazy enough as it is. There's been all kinds of crazy things happening around town lately. Some talk about some preachers, they've been riling up the streets. I don't know. We'll see.
Julia!
Oh, plague of locusts! Marcus, you startled me!
Oh.
What is happening?
One second. It's a long way from the jail. Oh, Julia, the most incredible thing has happened to me. Oh, my life has changed. I'll never be the same again.
What in the deep red sea are you talking about? And please, sit down. Let's have breakfast first. I know how you like to eat your breakfast.
No time to eat. I can't eat right now. We have too much to do.
You don't want breakfast? I think I need to sit down.
Yeah, sit. Okay, so, the most incredible thing has happened to me. Oh, do you remember those two men who came to town, Paul and Silas?
Yes, I've heard some things about them around town, causing trouble, bringing riots in the streets.
Yeah, so what happened was, do you remember the slave girl? Well, Paul and Silas freed her from the evil spirits, and the crowds came up, and they went up against Paul and Silas, and they ordered that the judge, the judge sentenced them to be stripped, beaten, and thrown into jail.
And that's where you come in?
Yeah, I was just starting my night shift at the jail. The head jailer came in and brought these two men, and he ordered that their feet be put into the stocks. I haven't seen anybody's feet being put in those stocks in many years. They're reserved for the most hardened of criminals.
Were you afraid that you had to be the one to lock them up?
I was at first, but these criminals didn't struggle at all. They just let their feet be put in the stocks, and they just settled into their cells without any complaint. They didn't even complain about the rats or the smell, and I've complained about those many times.
Oh, that never happens. You have the scars to prove that criminals fight when they are being put into a cell.
But these two, Julia, these two are the most extraordinary criminals. When midnight hit, they were singing hymns and praying to their God.
Singing? No criminals sing in their cells. Who are these guys?
I don't know. But I'm used to insults being hurled at me all night, to mean words, to fights. I have to bring up fights all night, you know. Yeah. I have the scars to show those ones. But tonight, because of all the hymn singing, it was calm. I even fell asleep.
Oh, you fell asleep?
Yeah.
What would have given these men such joy that they can calm the whole prison?
I don't know, but the calm didn't last very long. Do you remember that you probably felt the earthquake last night, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, like the earthquake woke me up, and I looked around, and I looked around at all the cell doors, and they were all wide open. And I was too afraid. I couldn't even look into those cells. I was afraid of what I might see.
Because if all the prisoners would have escaped, the head prison master would...
Yeah.
But you're still here?
Mm-hmm. Well, this was the crazy part. You know, I was so afraid of the punishment that I would get if all the prisoners escaped. So I drew my sword and...
Marcus.
But then I heard the voices of Paul and Silas, and they were saying that they were all there. Like, they were saying, stop, we're all here. All the prisoners are here.
What? They didn't run away even though the doors were open? They had a time to escape?
They stayed
in their cells?
All the time in the world to run away.
Why would they do such a thing?
Well, I had to know. I knew that these men were different. You know, from singing hymns in the prison to, you know, to saving my life by them not escaping. I knew that they were Christians and that they were willing to obey their God at any cost. And so I asked them, I said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Julia, I had to come home right away because they told me that if I believe in the Lord Jesus and repent of my sins, then I will be saved. So Julia, I came home to tell you right away, you have the same choices in front of you as well. And, you know, my life has been changed forever through the testimony of these two men, Paul and Silas. And I want you to come with me on this journey as well.
I will believe, Marcus. I've never seen you like this before. Something has definitely shifted in you, and you've encountered someone greater than yourself. And I want to repent and believe and follow this same God as well.
Well, the next thing that Paul and Silas told me is that if I believe in the Lord Jesus and I repent of my sins, then I should be baptized.
What does it mean to be baptized?
Well, I'm trying to remember. They told me that baptism is a symbol of our new lives that are now dedicated to God. And it's us believing that God loves us and saved us from our sins, and that we are now dedicated to bringing glory to Him forever.
Yes, I want to get baptized as a symbol of this newfound faith. Let's go find Paul and Silas. Let's tell them.
Well, you're in luck. I invited them over for breakfast.
Oh.
We have to make a whole meal for them.
All right.
Let's get started. I'll make the bacon.
Oh, I could sit on this chair.
Right on.
Hey, I forgot one really important thing. It's that Connor and Cheyenne have posted some things for the children's feature on the Facebook page, some discussion questions and a coloring page, I think. So you can check out Ozer Mission Chapel on Facebook to find those. And I forgot one other thing, and it's that if you have tithes and offerings, we have a box in the back, or you can go... we do e-transfers or online giving. I think you can find out that information through our website, too, and that's just oldermissionchapel.com. All right. So, today, we're celebrating baptism. So, I'm naturally going to talk about baptism. And just a heads up, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be going to multiple passages, but the two main passages are Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, and Romans 6. So you're going to want to, if you want to follow along, you'll want to put your finger in Mark 15, and then another in Romans 6. Okay, so my hope is that I can raise this stand. All right, so my hope is that I can convince you of the importance of baptism. And it's because when we understand the full meaning of baptism, we enrich our lives and we are reminded of spiritual realities that either we never really understood, or we forgot too quickly, or we simply take for granted. My goal is that we will come to understand that when it comes to baptism, it's what you don't see that matters most. As I speak about baptism, you might be thinking, I've heard this before. I know where this is going. But stay with me. My hope is that those of you who have already been baptized will be able to see your baptism with renewed awe, and you'll be able to worship deeply from your heart as you recall back to your baptism. If you are a Christian and you have not been baptized, my hope is that you will not delay getting baptized and hold yourself back from the blessings that baptism brings. And if you're not a Christian and you're wondering what Christianity is about and why you're about to watch some people get dunked into a river, this will be especially relevant for you. So with that in mind, let's begin by defining what baptism is. So baptism is a ritual that Christians do. Jesus was baptized and commanded his followers to make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word baptize, the English word baptize, comes from a Greek word, which means to be immersed or to be completely covered. So when we baptize with water, we immerse people in water. In the New Testament, baptism is almost always presented hand in hand with repentance, much like kilchia and shmonfat. They go together. They go hand in hand. In Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, Jesus commanded his followers to make disciples and baptize them. This is what it says. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Later on in Acts, after receiving the Holy Spirit, Peter ends his sermon by saying, repent and be baptized. Later on in the same book, Luke tells the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and he asked Philip, what's to keep me from being baptized? There's water right here. Baptism and repentance went together in the New Testament. So now we're on the same page. Baptism is a Christian ritual ordered by Jesus to Christians of all nations. It was very important to Jesus and his disciples that when someone would repent, they would not delay in being baptized. To which some of us might ask, well, why? Why was this so important? Isn't the repentance the important part? Isn't baptism just a public declaration of faith? Can't I just post something to Facebook or like rent a billboard in Saskatoon and that be good enough? Well, I'm glad you asked. So stick with me. We're going to go to Romans 6. Romans 6 verses 1. So Romans is written years after the event in Mark. Around 40 years after the event in Mark, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the Christians in the region of Rome. Halfway through his letter, Paul uses the event of his audience's baptism to remind them that they have died with Christ and been raised to new life in Jesus, in him. So we're going to start reading at Romans 6, verse 1. Keep in mind that we're jumping into the middle of Paul's letter. He's mid-thought. We're jumping into the middle of a rant, and Paul's making a point. But we're going to see that Paul understood that with baptism, it's what you don't see that matters most. So Romans 6, verses 1 to 7. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So Paul references back to his audience's baptisms, when they were baptized, to teach them something about themselves, and he expects them to live differently. If baptism were only a public declaration, Paul would not have tied some very significant spiritual truths to that event. Paul is using baptism like a spiritual memorial in the life of a Christian. He's referencing back to baptism, an event that his audience experienced, to teach them something about their sin, their relationship with God. And again, with baptism, it's what you don't see that matters most. So I'll give you an analogy of that last point. So I've heard some preachers who, they give an invitation to become a Christian, and they lead people through a prayer. And they say, hey, if today is the first time you prayed that prayer, I want you to write the date, today's date, in the page of your Bible, in the front page of your Bible, so that you can know that when you have doubts, when the enemy attacks you, that you can flip open your Bible and go, no, I repented. I'm a Christian. I'm part of it. I have a new life. I was there on this date. Something happened. That is what baptism was to Paul, a memorial. A monument of a spiritual event and a spiritual reality. They've been made new. They don't live in sin anymore. When baptism follows your repentance, it solidifies the experience and the event in your mind and in your memory. Repenting was more than just a private prayer on a bench or a private prayer in your room, but your actions changed. You literally became new because of it. Baptism is important because it serves as a memorial for an event in your life, becoming a Christian. But that's not the only reason. It's kind of like an infomercial. But wait, there's more. Baptism is also important because of what it symbolizes. There's a lot of spiritual metaphor in baptism tied to Jesus' story and the culture of the Jewish people. Consider that just as Jesus descended, he went down into the grave, and rose again out of the grave. In baptism, you go down into water, and as we'll see, we went down into a river, and we were a little bit scared for our lives because the river was pretty high. And you would die in a river if you stayed in there for longer than a few minutes. But then you come back out of it, out of the watery grave, into a new life. And you know, this is made really clear in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, when you've died to with Christ and been raised to a new life. Also, water reminds us of God's judgment, like in the flood in Genesis, which Peter references in 1 Peter chapter 3, or the drowning of Egypt's armies when passing through the Red Sea in the book of Exodus. Jesus passed through judgment and lived. So we also, when we're baptized, we also pass through the waters of judgment and live. Just as Christ passed through death and judgment, when we're baptized, we say, hey, me too. I'm joining with Christ in his story, in his death and new life. Passing through judgment into righteousness. Water symbolizing death and the grave being a method of God's judgment. These are just further proof that baptism, it's what you don't see that matters most. These are spiritual realities that are made physical through baptism. Like, rare is the thing that joins the physical and the spiritual, but baptism is that. Isn't that cool? And it can be difficult, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, to have those spiritual interactions. We can do the mechanics of singing, but not feel it. Our worship songs can feel little more than words on a screen. We seek for concrete answers for our prayers, but rarely do we get one. We want God to maybe show us a sign of truths when we doubt, and often we receive none. But baptism is not like that. Baptism is a physical manifestation of a spiritual truth. It's the spiritual joined with the physical. We're physically going down into the grave, and there's a deeper spiritual reality happening. We're being cleansed physically, which mirrors the spiritual cleansing that only Jesus gives. So I want to make something really clear. We should not mistake that baptism is what makes us a Christian. We don't do something to earn our salvation, and we don't manipulate Jesus into making us acceptable. I've heard that baptism is compared to a wedding ring. So when I got married, Deanna gave me this ring, and I gave her some rings as a symbol for our love for each other. And it's not that I'm married because I wear the ring, but the ring does have meaning. When someone sees my ring, they know that I have a love for someone that is unique. It's special. It's reserved only for them. It's a physical symbol of a deeper reality. There's something deeper there. The ring is important, but it's not what matters most. So if you've been baptized, you've physically been washed to match the inner cleansing of Jesus. You've entered the grave and come out, just like Jesus. You've passed through judgment and come out accepted, just like Jesus. Baptism is the event where spiritual realities are represented physically. It's what you don't see that matters most. So, why wait? Repent and be baptized. If you have not yet repented and aren't super sure about this whole Christianity thing, we'd love to talk with you. Us pastors that are here will be in the back during the singing. If you want to come and figure out more or learn more, we'd love to talk with you about that. If you have repented and you call yourself a Christian but have not yet been baptized, don't delay in taking this step of joining with Jesus in his death and his resurrection. You're missing out on some profound realities. If you're already Christian and you would like to be baptized, again, the pastors will be in the back during the singing. Come back and talk to us. We'd love to talk with you about next steps. If you have already been baptized, I invite you to remember back to when you were washed, when you had died, when you passed through judgment, and join together in praising Jesus for the work that he is doing in the lives of those who are getting baptized, and we're going to watch their baptisms on this. It's a big deal. May we praise God for the commitment he has to us and the blessing that baptism is. Okay, so I'm going to pray, and then we'll watch the baptisms, and then the worship team will come up and lead us in song. So let's pray. Jesus, we praise you for dying for us and rising again. Truly, there is none like you. Thank you for your commitment to us. Jesus, we thank you for providing us with a memorial so that we can remember the event of our decision to follow you, to repent. Lord, we ask that you just continue to work through us and in us as we go out from here and make disciples through all your creation. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.